Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of ReimagineOnline.org, sparking the evolution of education choice. On this episode, senior writer Lisa Bowie talks with Emma Ariarte, a single mom from South Florida whose two sons receive family empowerment scholarships.
Today, we have Emma Ariarte from Miami, who has two children who attend a private school with help from Florida Family Empowerment Scholarship programs. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, we'll start by having you tell me a little bit about yourself and your sons.
Sure. So I'm originally from Costa Rica and moved to Miami when I was 25. Here is where I met the boy's father in Miami and how their story started. Sebastian is 17 and Alejandro is 15. Sebas has always been a very outgoing boy since he was a baby, always saying hi to everybody from the stroller. And he's very fun-loving, but he's always been also very committed to his academics. And Ale, he used to be a little bit more shy. It would take him a little bit longer to warm up, but thanks to his brother's personality, has really gotten him out of his shell. And he has also grown into a very social young man. They even share friends and activities together these days because they're only 2 years apart. Ale is extremely artistic, and he has put a lot of work on his end to overcome his ADD and to not let it affect his academics. They both have that sense of responsibility towards the school, which I feel very thankful for. And I also feel that's one of the things that is appreciated at their school. They share a lot of common interests, actually, which makes me really happy because I see them bonding through all these different activities. They both enjoy outdoor activities. In Costa Rica, when we lived there, they used to surf and they love playing basketball in the parks. They love football. Now Ale is also into running, into learning some skating tricks. And my side of the family has a plastic artist, a writer, a photographer. So they both share that passion for the audiovisual arts. And even before high school, since the pandemic, they started working. When we were locked up, they started working on an intro for a documentary on the pandemic. And I was really surprised on how professional it was without even having any teachings on it. So yes, they both share a lot of interests.
And I understand they do broadcast at the school. They're involved in the news program.
Yes, they're very passionate about that program. And at the beginning, actually, Sebas didn't even think that he was going to study journalism. He was talking about being an engineer. But now through the program, he has realized that it just brings so many aspects of a character building experience together. And he's just very serious now about pursuing journalism as a career, especially on the production part. So yes, this is a program that has really molded them significantly.
And where do they go to school?
They go to school to Columbus High School in Miami.
And what type of school is that?
So this is a private Christian school, all boys. This is, you know, one of the most competitive schools. Not also they're great in academics, but they're also very competitive in sports. They're actually state champions for football. And also the program, the CCNN program we were talking about, the broadcasting, they just went to a national awards ceremony that was held in California. It's called STN, the Student Television Network. And CCNN brought home 11 awards. So this is a very, very serious program. And I'm just really happy with how serious they have become about everything that they set their mind to doing.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
I understand you left Florida for a while. Where did you go and what type of education did your sons receive there?
Well, in 08, Miami was hit with a real estate crisis. So at that point, the father and I were still together and we decided to move to Costa Rica because it was my home country. And after 5 years of being there, their father and I got divorced and he decided to move back to Florida. So I stayed there because my job was there at the time. And I stayed there with the boys. And the last 3 years that we were there, actually, I had to face paying on my own for a very expensive private system. Mm-hmm. Because in Costa Rica, unfortunately, the public system for the boys wasn't even an option. It's extremely limited. And though the private system in Costa Rica is a lot better than the public, the level of competitiveness that I was mentioning to you that really makes them thrive into being outstanding for when they go to college, especially in extracurricular activities like sports or other, again, character building programs that to me as a parent are also very important, would not allow them to have the opportunities of scholarships they have now in the States. So it's harder as coming from a foreign high school to have access to scholarships in the United States. So we were very limited at that point, and I had to face having to pay that private schooling on my own. So it was very challenging times.
What kind of financial sacrifices did you have to make in order to do that?
Well, it's really hard because you're trying to balance everything so that the sacrifices that you're making financially doesn't impact their quality of life. You know, so I still had to make sure that they got a good health care, that we had access to our little vacations, you know, even if it was not the way the travel that I would have liked to take them with. But I made sure that we had our moments of going to the beach and making it fun, even if economically I wasn't in the position as comfortable as I would have liked. But to me, their education has always been a priority. And I guess it's just that very thin line of trying to keep the balance between giving them a good education, but not letting, you know, especially the emotional support that sometimes it's needed depending on the reality of your own family. In my case, it was our divorce. It was very impactful to them. It was not a very nice one. So to me, it was important to keep them emotionally healthy. So bringing all these elements together was very challenging, but we pulled through.
And what ultimately influenced you to come back to the U.S., specifically to Florida?
Well, you know, I was having conversations with the boy's father at the time, and he's more familiar with the school system in Miami because he grew up in Miami. I didn't. So he did mention that for Sebastian, it would be better this school, this all-boys school. And of course, I wasn't just going to send him, and I realized that this could be a great opportunity for him. So I decided to, you know, pack our bags and come to Miami to explore that opportunity for Sebastian's education. And in the meantime, Alejandro was doing his middle school in a K-8 public school. And I could see the contrast. It was very significant. And, you know, Lisa, it's interesting because it got to a point where Sebastian was having all these opportunities in Columbus High School. And I started to feel him distance himself from his brother. He couldn't connect with him because he didn't feel like he was at his brother's same level. And I think that just started making him sad in a way. And in the pandemic, it just, everything came together and he was just not very happy in the school he was at.
And when did Alejandro get diagnosed with ADD?
He was 6 years old.
Okay, so you knew this when he was in school, in middle school.
Yes, I had a hard time with the medication decision because there's so much stigma around the medication. So it took me, you know, a couple of years to make the decision as a parent. You know, you sit down with the teachers and you have to really take in what they're telling you and the professionals. So I just made sure that before making that decision on his ADD, I had enough professional, you know, evaluations done to him so that we were going to get him the best help.
And I imagine he had an IEP in public school.
Yeah, he did.
Well, that was good. What made you decide to send him to Columbus and leave the public system?
Well, it was the time to make a decision because it was only a K-8. So when he was in eighth grade, it was already time to make a decision to which high school he was going to go. And I really fought for him being in Columbus because on the other side, there was a perception that he wasn't gonna make it in Columbus because he had ADD, and the Columbus environment is a very competitive one. So there was this conception that it was gonna be in detriment to him to be in a school that was so high achieving. And there is a misconception about ADD that these students cannot thrive in a competitive environment, which is completely false. And I can tell you firsthand, because I really thought, this is my part. Now I have to pay for Alejandro on my own. And how am I going to do this? You know, again, I'm facing a high ticket for a private school. And having coffee with a friend of mine one day, she was, well, you know, my son is in Columbus and I got him this scholarship because he's got ADD. And I was like, I had no idea that this could happen. I just thought that Sebastian had gotten it because of his good grades. And then she opened this opportunity that I never imagined I could have. And I immediately called Step Up, got all the information, and got him into the Unique Abilities Scholarship. So exactly what I had envisioned, that Alejandro was going to thrive in an environment that would stimulate his strengths. That's exactly what happened.
And was Sebastian already on the state scholarship program at the time?
He was at that time, because he started 2 years earlier in his ninth grade. But his scholarship was more based on his performance in academics. Alejandro's was the Unique Abilities one. So they both ended up with different scholarships, but supported by the same system, which is amazing.
So Sebastian, it sounds like he may have been on more than one. There may have had been some through the school based on grades. Is he also on the Step Up for Student scholarship that's based on
the income? Yes, correct. Because his father had qualified him.
And tell me why Columbus ended up being the best choice. I don't know. Did you look at any other schools, or was that pretty much what you had settled on?
Yes. I mean, to me, the core values are very important. And I realized from people that had attended there when it was my time, like I said, I didn't grow up in Miami, Florida. And I know that Columbus is well known for a lot of their qualities. But to me, it was new to start this process of research. So I always got the same comments that it was a very, you know, a character building school with core values. It's a Christian school and it's a brotherhood, really. The boys are really enjoying every part of what Columbus has to offer, not only in academics. It's just, there's such a good energy when you go into Columbus. It seems like it's too good to be true, but it actually is to me, because I see it. The students are happy and the teachers are genuinely committed to give their best and to excel. And that culture from the teachers transcends into the students. They're sponges and they absorb that same value. So to me, it was a no-brainer, Columbus. Mm-hmm.
And tell me how it did compare. I know it's a high school and the other school is a middle school, but you mentioned earlier that middle school, the public middle school, wasn't working out well for Alejandro. Compare the two schools and what they were like.
Well, for example, the approach in the pandemic was very isolating for Alejandro versus Sebastian. They were maintaining all the safety measures in Columbus, but the boys did not feel isolated. Alejandro would walk into a classroom that after months was completely empty. And to him, online schooling wasn't ideal. So when it had to be done, it had to be done. But when it was time to go back to school, he still felt the isolation in that school system versus Sebastian, that was having a more social, more connecting environment in Columbus. Another thing that to me was very important is I never experienced a school that did not have a PE uniform. And I couldn't believe, I would ask Alejandro, what is going on with the sports? No, we do PE, but in pants. The physical aspect that I see in Columbus and the importance that they give to sports was not there. And that to me is critical for anybody's well-being. I think it's an important compliment, especially for boys, you know, because they're all high energy. So not only sports, let's talk about extracurriculars in general. They just weren't there. And now that I see the boys busy all the time, and they're busy during the week in the CCNN program, editing, putting ideas together of new documentaries, of new packages, on the weekends, getting together with the team to go cover a special weekend event or a fair. All these things, they just keep their mind busy and productive versus Ale having too much free time in the other system. So that to me was the game changer in Alejandro's life when he transferred into Columbus.
Wow. And you have also mentioned, I know during your speech at the bill signing when HB1 was signed, that the staff at Columbus has helped you through many challenging times. Can you give us an example of those challenges and tell us what the staff has done to help you through those?
Well, it's been more than one. It's been several occasions in which the Columbus staff has come through. Truly, as family, I never expected this compassion regarding our family's reality. Every family has different struggles. And I just feel that no matter how many kids they have, like 2,000 students, they are very hands-on on all of them, and they're very concerned of the well-being of each family. In my case, unfortunately, Sebastian's father removed himself from his life last year. And since he was paying for Sebastian's portion of the complementing the scholarship, and I'm the one handling Alejandro's, we were afraid because of a conversation that he was going to stop paying his portion. And at that moment, Sebastian expressed this fear to one of his mentors in school. And they expressed to me that that Sebastian and I had nothing to fear, because if that would happen, Columbus would make sure that Sebastian would graduate from his senior year in Columbus. And at that moment, it was such a safety net for both Sebastian and I to have that support, knowing that his final years was not going to be impacted no matter what his father decided to do after he removed himself from his life. And that was very significant to us. Of course, this situation made Sebastian feel very sad, and the school actually recommended a great therapist that is now handling this transition that Sebastian's going through. And this was someone that has been giving therapy to Columbus students for 20 years. So he knows the boys very well. He has a way of helping the boys cope with emotions like this. And it has been great for Sebastian. He's in a very good place right now, despite the reality that he had to face. And to me, to see my son have this support, I cannot explain to you, because you cannot take credit as a parent of your kids by yourself. You have this, like I said on my speech, like this village of people coming together, and to see people caring about your child, it just warms my heart so much, because I never expected this from a school. It's something that you expect from family members, but not necessarily from a school. And also, when I speak in general about the staff, I also need to specify Mr. Delgado, which I also mentioned him on my speech. He has been a mentor, not only in the program itself, but as a male figure for both of my boys. Even Sebastian says that Mr. Delgado was the man that taught him how to shake a man's hand. And this type of little details, you know, for example, this is the little stuff. Alejandro, the first day of school, he wasn't used to wearing a tie. I couldn't really tie a tie very well. And we were trying to Google on YouTube how to tie the tie. And we got to the school the first day and we were still not making it. So one of the gentlemen that was welcoming them on the first day of school, I looked at him and I'm like, I'm sorry, we couldn't do the Thai. And he immediately, don't worry, I got it. And he did the Thai. He taught him how to do it. And these little things, they make a difference. And they feel, they just feel loved. That makes them go to school happy every day, which is something that I did not see in Alejandro when he was in the other school. He actually did not want to go to school. So that's a big contrast.
So what I hear you saying to me is, this is your village. And not only that, but the boys are able to have some very positive men in their lives, which is very important when boys are growing up and becoming men.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you came and spoke at the bill signing, which must have been a exciting experience. What do you think about the changes in the new education savings accounts that this bill will now allow that for the programs? Do you think it'll help more families be able to offer their children a better educational fit? I know one of the things that the funds can be used to pay for is therapies for kids who may have ADD like Alejandro.
Yes, absolutely. Lisa, from my firsthand experience, I can tell you that that spare money makes a difference in the child's life. There are certain times where the insurances will not cover certain things that you want to have access to for your children because you always want to make sure that they get the best they can. And in that case, that extra money is going to make a huge difference. The therapist, for example, that is right now giving Sebastian treatment, it's things that I have to come out of pocket by myself as a single mom. And I'll do it 1,000 times. But to me, it's a lot more realistic to do it when I have this help. And tutoring, for example, for Alejandro. I mean, he does have a lot of resources in school, but sometimes he struggles with math. So I might have to get a little extra on the side. And all that extra money, it's completely changes the scenario for them. And it's empowerment to the children at the end of the day. And that's what all parents and educators are, we're all looking for. That's our common interest. And thankfully, the governor's office and the legislature, they're all understand this. And that's why we are our children are benefiting from it. And us as parents, because seeing them good is our well-being. So it is great. I'm really thankful for it.
Well, I'm glad your boys are doing so well in school academically and with the extracurriculars. And I want to thank you for joining me on the podcast today. And thank you for sharing and also offering us an international perspective. We don't get that very often.
Yes, yes. It's very different. And by no means, I just want to make one system make it look like it's not good enough. It's just the access in the States is different to the opportunities in scholarships, especially.
Well, thank you for joining me. It was a pleasure to have you.
It was a pleasure to be here, Lisa. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to tell our story and hopefully create this awareness of the impact that a bill like this, a law like this, can have in people's lives and children's futures.